Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
So let me share quickly just where we're up to and what this is all about. We're in the middle of a series called For the Win. Everyone say, For the Win. It's based on this scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:19, where Paul says, though I am free, I belong to no one. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone so as to win as many as possible. In verse 23, he says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessings. So we've been talking about how freedom is shaped by the cross. It's a self-sacrificial life. It's about leveraging this freedom that the gospel has bought and Jesus has won through the cross, leveraging our freedom for the sake of others. And so we talked about how true freedom in Christ sets us free from fear, it sets us free from self-interest, and empowers us with this idea of moving from an age of anxiety into an age of action. And we've been, this movement, this transition that the world at large is in. And we've been armed with a gospel of action, a gospel of movement. I heard someone say this today, if God is moving, then shouldn't his people be moving also? And so we are moving into this age of action and we're recognizing across the globe that God is starting to move. And so we want to move with him, armed with this gospel of action. And living lives of sacrificial love, becoming agents of change and transformation in our world. Over the last couple of days, I've got to see how these guys live, the authenticity, not just a message that they preach, but a life that they live. And so I believe that all the different things that we've been tapping into and exploring from this scripture and the life of Paul, that these guys are going to be able to release an impartation through their testimony, through their story, and through the word this morning, through what they carry for us to live this life out, a life of leveraging our freedom for the sake of others. So, Maddie and Evan, welcome. Thanks for being here. Mic check.
Thank you so much for having us there.
You guys are living, breathing, glory-carrying pastors that are, I believe, really God is doing something very special in this region, and you guys are very blessed to be a part of what God is doing here. We are too.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank you so much for having us, and it's honestly a blessing to be here because I was just in worship remembering that you guys had a Live to Love conference here back in 2018. And that was the first time I was here at this church and the first time I saw Ben Fitzgerald and Heidi Baker, and I had just given my life to Jesus and come to this conference and this church and got totally transformed by God. The Spirit of God arrested me and it was here in this church, and I just thought, wow, the faithfulness of God, you know, so it's an honor to be back here.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to have you both here. Very, very good. So we just want to start by getting to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. How did you meet? And you guys are part of a ministry called Compassion to Action with Chris Overstreet. Tell us a little bit about what that's all about and what life looks like for you, but also, you know, a part of your story as well.
Do you want me to go first? Well, Maddie, she moved all the way from the great land of the South, land of the Holy Spirit, down to the U.S. of A., and she joined a mission school called Christ for All Nations, and I was helping serve in that school, and she interned with me, and she was an amazing intern. Now I'm interning for her, and we met in that mission school, and how many of you guys know it's great to meet a spouse in a place where Jesus is worshiped and lifted up, amen?
Yeah.
And so we met there, and it was really first love. It was love at first sight. We got married in 2 months, which was wild. I wouldn't highly recommend that, but you know,
We waited a very, very long time.
She's really special, and she's got an amazing accent, so 2 months. No, it was amazing. We felt the Holy Spirit just guiding us in that. Also, it was during COVID, so I couldn't come here. She couldn't leave, and it was this tension. We decided, let's get married and move on with the mission that we know God has for us. And so it's been about 4.5 years now, best 4.5 years of our lives. And we are currently working for Compassion to Action, which is a ministry led by evangelist Chris Overstreet, who sends his love. He really wishes he could be here. He's an amazing man of God. Great heart for the harvest and to unify pastors in the region we're in. And he was the outreach pastor at Bethel for over 20 years, or 16 years as an outreach pastor. He was there for over 20 years. And so we're currently full-time on staff with him. And so I interned with him back in 2018, but currently we are doing outreaches and helping lend strength to local churches and pastors to build a culture of evangelism in their church. And it's been incredibly fruitful. With the help of local churches and pastors and leaders, we've done over 70 gospel truck outreaches this year alone.
Wow.
We have these mobile stage trucks that literally the stage folds out and we're able to preach the gospel, do community outreaches and give away food and clothes. But the greatest gift that we give away is the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation. And so we've seen many people get saved and discipled this year, and it's been really fruitful. So yeah, it's been amazing.
Amazing. Maddie, you're clearly not from America. You're from Australia.
Yes, so I am 2 hours north in Newcastle, and I actually have my amazing parents here with me. They're pastors and just beautiful people, so it's an honour to have them here. Yeah, you can clap for that. So yeah, is there anyone from Newcastle here? Woo! Couple people, yeah. So the crazy thing is Pastor Aaron and Kristen were my youth pastors when I was a youth. So wild. I remember Ben Needs, shout out to Ben. You were at youth. They were the good old days. I'm born and raised in Newcastle, and in 2020, during COVID, I heard the voice of God to move to America, and I really, in all transparency, had no desire to go there. I never thought I would go. I thought I was called to Africa and Asia, and when God said go to America, I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it was during COVID and crazy times, you know, with all the lockdown. And so it was a word of God that honestly I knew would take a miracle. But who knows that when God speaks, he makes a way. And so I just obeyed the voice of God. Little did I know I would meet my future husband there. And 3 months turned into nearly 5 years. So we live in Vancouver, Washington, which is the northwest of America. And it's, if you know anything about that area in Portland, Oregon, it's pretty much all of America and really the world know that this area in America is one of the most just, you know, woke, crazy, dark, spiritually places. And, you know, the first time I went there, it really was cultural shock. My eyes were open to a whole nother world. But the beautiful thing is that the gospel works everywhere to all people because it's the power of God. And so we love going and being and living there in one of the darkest places. You know, there is dark places in the West. It's not just Africa and Asia. And people need Jesus in America. And so we get to really just bring the love and light of God to them. And we've seen just so many people rocked by Jesus and transformed by the gospel. And it's one of the greatest things for us as a married couple to see that and experience, yeah.
Yeah, very good, very good. Tell us a little bit about how you both got saved. Did you grow up in a Christian? I mean, I know a little bit of your story, Maddie, yeah. And you touched on that a little bit already. Yeah. But how did you guys come to faith? And what was, you know, the call to ministry as well? Let us in on that story.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll try to be as quick as I can, but my mom, you know, she was actually married to a pastor's son, had 3 other kids, and he left her for another woman. And she was very heartbroken. She went to her church, and they were very religious, and they actually were very chauvinistic in their theology. So they sided more with him than with her to help her walk through it. And so she didn't feel like church was a safe place for her. So she left, met my dad, who was a crazy partier, and he was a bit into drugs and things like that. And my mom had me, but she was getting pressured really bad by friends and family. How are you going to raise this kid? You know, how are you going to take care of him? So not being political at all with this, it's just what happened. But she made an appointment for me at Planned Parenthood, which is an abortion clinic in America. And the day before I was born, she heard a voice say, "Don't do this. I have a plan for this young man's life." She canceled that abortion appointment. And praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And she, it's really incredible. She ended up having me, but she didn't think she could keep me, so she put me up for adoption to a family she thought would take better care of me than she could. And long story short, 4 days after being in that adoption facility, the Lord spoke to her again in her heart and said, "You can keep this child. I'll help you." So she took me back. She called and said, "Can I have him back?" And they said, "Of course, he's your baby." So she took me back. And story goes, they looked over the crib and said, "It's little Evan from heaven." And she dedicated me to the Lord. She said, "Lord, I can't raise him without your help. I give him to you. He's your baby." And I sincerely believe the Lord had his hand on my life. I don't really have a typical testimony like a lot of people. I never did drugs. Just be very open and transparent, because I think that the young generation needs to hear this. But the Lord saved my purity till marriage. And so God really had his hand on my life because of my mom's prayers. But it wasn't until middle school that I was getting bullied really bad in school. My parents tried to work things out, but ended up getting divorced. My parents loved me greatly. They did the best they could. But they got divorced when I was very young. And when I met Jesus and got filled with the Holy Spirit, they saw such a change in my life. They said, "Evan, what's going on with you? You know, what you're crazy about religion, and you're wanting to tell everybody at your school about Jesus all of a sudden." And I said, "Well, why don't you guys come find out?" So they came to church. They came to these Holy Spirit meetings. My mom got filled with the Holy Spirit. My dad got radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And praise God. And then my parents, we were all going to church together as a family, which was kind of weird, but it was awesome. And my parents said to me one day, after forgiving one another and working things out, loving Jesus together, "Evan, we want to get remarried and we want you to officiate our wedding." And so in 2016, I remarried my own parents after 18 years of them being divorced. And so Jesus not only restored my heart, but he also restored my family. And in the last year, I've had two family members that have gotten saved and given their lives to Jesus as well. And by the way, just a side note, my dad was born in Australia, so I'm a dual citizen of Australia now by descent.
Give us the Australian accent. You're pretty good at it.
All right, mate. I'll give it my best go. We're going to go for some sausage sizzle after this, yeah? Go wrestle a few salties, I reckon. The Holy Ghost is going to move in power today, fire.
All right. Give him a round of applause for it. Trying. He did pretty good. Well done. And so, Maddie, what about you? What's your story in coming to Jesus?
Yeah, so I, thankfully, I have the most amazing parents in the world, I think. But my mum and dad, so when I was growing up, my mum was a spirit-filled, born-again believer, and my dad at the time was an atheist, and they've both got just a beautiful testimony that I hope one day you'll be able to hear. But so I had the privilege of growing up in church and going to youth group, and, you know, shout out to the youth here. Youth group, I loved it. It was amazing. Sunday school, you know, shout out to Pastor Wayne and Jenny. They were my pastors growing up, so we all know them, beautiful people. And so I had somewhat of a relationship with Jesus and, you know, came to Hillsong conferences and all those things. So I was definitely around the presence of God. The supernatural wasn't foreign to me. You know, it was a Pentecostal charismatic church. So I had powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit and encountered God. However, you know, all this was happening, but there was still, you know, I felt like I knew a lot about God, but didn't have that real personal encounter with him where I knew him personally. And so the world was very tempting and, you know, alluring at that age. And so, you know, I got to 15 and I was very tempted to, oh, my friends are doing drugs and drinking alcohol and that looks really cool. And so at the age of 15, it was the first time I got drunk. And then I started to dabble in drugs and, you know, go to parties and festivals and you know, experience the world. But it just left me feeling even more empty and unsatisfied. And in that, there was a lot of shame that I felt because, you know, I had grown up in church. Some days I would go to church, but then others I'd be in the world. And so there was a lot of shame that I felt with that. And I think shame is, it's the enemy that will actually push you further away from God. And so at the age of 20, my sister and I said, let's go travel around Southeast Asia and just have a, you know, one big party backpacking, 3 months away. And so whilst we were there, I was in the country of Vietnam and I actually took some drugs in this country. And what happened was immediately I felt like this demonic presence had come over me. And because I had grown up in church and with the supernatural, I knew that it was more than just, you know, side effects of a drug, but it was actually a spiritual thing that happened. And that night I felt just extreme fear and anxiety on my chest. I knew that this was more than just, you know, a drug. I knew that this was something spiritual. And from that night forward, I began to have panic attacks and just felt this extreme fear and anxiety to the point where it was so overwhelming that I had suicidal ideation. Like, I just want to end this. This is so hard. I can't live like this. And I got back to Australia and I had my mum and dad pray for me. My dad ended up getting radically born again. And so they're on fire for Jesus. And I said, Mum and Dad, I need you to pray for me. And I don't know what's going on, but and I don't feel myself. I've got fear and anxiety and I need help. And, you know, of course they were praying and talking to me about Jesus, but I wasn't fully ready yet to surrender everything. I still wanted my sin and a little bit of Jesus. And so what happened was it took me to, you know, a couple of months. I ended up just really feeling the weight of God, the love of God just drawing me and chasing me down. And I ended up just surrendering. I said, Lord, if you really are who you say you are, then I need you to save me. And if you save me, I will give you my whole life, every part of me, absolutely everything, whatever it takes. And not long after that, I found myself in a nightclub in Newcastle. I was drinking with friends. Couldn't get drunk that day for some reason. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit. Sneaky God. Couldn't get drunk. And I was in the middle of the dance floor and the presence of God overwhelmed me so powerfully. In this nightclub, I encountered Jesus. It was as if Jesus just walked into the nightclub and came up to me and he said my name. He said, Maddie, just come home. And it was those words that I needed to hear, because it wasn't, you're a bad girl, I'm shaming you, I'm condemning you. It was the love of God, the kindness and goodness of God that led me to repentance and true repentance. I ended up leaving that nightclub. I went home to Mum and Dad. I said, I'm coming back to Jesus. And I got filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit in my kitchen. In my house, kitchens are the best places to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell you. And I just had this overwhelming love encounter with the person of Jesus. And that's where he really became my best friend. And I knew, oh, he loves me. I love him. And that's where the start of ministry came, was that encounter.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Why don't we give Jesus praise? Beautiful stories. And we saw that same thing happening at youth on Friday night, the love of God being poured out, young men and women weeping as they encountered Jesus And this morning, we're going to create space for prayer and impartation. And if those stories are, you know, maybe you know of God, or you know, you've been coming to church, but the encounters that these guys have described, if that's foreign to you, then I encourage you to come on up and receive prayer when we open up the altar later on. Guys, your role with Compassion to Action. I've seen some of the YouTube clips, watch you guys online, and some of the stories that you've shared, crazy testimonies of God moving and reaching the lost, preaching to sometimes, well, a lot of the time, strangers and people who are hostile to the gospel. I wonder if you might have one or two of your, I don't know, favorite's the right word, but most impactful stories and testimonies that you would want to share with us today.
Yeah, there's so many, honestly. And I just want to encourage you guys that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And miracles, signs, and wonders affirm and confirm the gospel, according to Mark 16:20. It says they preached, they went out everywhere, preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with the signs that accompanied it. So one day we were out at this church that we had planned to do essentially we do these block parties sometimes where we will come to a church and we'll throw a party, you know, they're actually Aussie pastors, C3 pastors in Portland, and they will do a sausage sizzle and pop, you know, hot cotton candy and snow cones. And actually Mama Kylie and Papa Gary were in town for this outreach that we did. And we, you know, opened up our truck and began to preach the gospel. And people were getting touched, were blessing the community, giving away free prizes and all the rest. And the pastor said there is actually this community, this apartment complex that is helping rehab people off drugs near us. And they've opened their doors. They want us to come and do our block party there. So we're like, okay, we're on wheels, so we can go anywhere we want. So we went just a few blocks away from the church. And the outreach was going great, but there was a lady in a wheelchair off to the corner. And as I was preaching, I just looked at her and I felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And I said, ma'am, I said, I see that the Lord is touching you right now. He loves you. And I said, I don't understand this, but I said, I see that there's been a lot of trauma that's happened in your life. And, you know, I don't always say things like this over the mic, but I just really felt compelled by the Holy Spirit. We want to be sensitive, but I just said, I feel like the Lord is breaking depression off of you and even like suicidal ideation. And as I began to say that, she just began to weep profusely. And I said, I actually feel like there's something physically that's connected with what's been going on with you emotionally, mentally, in this space, and I feel that God is healing you right now. And she began to weep even harder. Our team gathered around, began to pray for her, and we continued with the ministry. And as I'm ministering and speaking, I hear screaming and yelling off to my right, and I look over, and that same lady is dancing in the street. Praise God. She was in a wheelchair just moments prior. And I found out from our team and from her, she came up and she said, you have no idea what you said, how accurate that was. She said, I was so depressed for so many years. She said, I jumped off a bridge and tried to kill myself. And she said, that's the reason that I'm in this wheelchair, because I broke my ankles when I jumped off that bridge. But today, your team gave me the exact same words that you gave me before you even shared them. And she said, I gave my life to Jesus today, and I got completely healed. And she was able to run around, walk around.
Come on.
Praise God.
So good.
So that was a powerful testimony. And you know, if God can do it in the streets, he can most certainly do it through you. Amen. And he wants to do it here today. You know, even Ross, my friend Ross, came up to us during worship today. And I said, brother, I feel like Jesus loves you so much. He's so proud of you. He wants to touch your ears. And we prayed for your ears. Ross, how are you hearing? You're hearing better, hey? He said he was hearing better earlier. So I believe God is going to do mighty miracles even this morning here today.
Amen. Amen. Maddie, is there a story comes to mind?
Yeah, there is. It's actually one that's recent, just before we came to Australia. We were out one Saturday night doing a gospel truck outreach. So we, like Evan said, we pulled up our, you know, gospel truck and it opens up and it's a stage that you can preach from. And Evan's also a DJ, so he was DJing. And it was in one of a rough places in town in Portland. We've been there before. A lot of homeless people come through. And so we just set up a lot of tables and give away free food and free clothes. And when we pull up, it looks dead. But then you get out the food and the clothes and it's like everyone just comes out of hiding. And so they came and, you know, it's amazing. It's beautiful to see a lot of the people just come and get food and clothes. And so we began to, you know, be the hands and feet of Jesus, but also preach the gospel. And this one particular night, I preached the gospel. I shared my testimony, and there was this young couple that came to the truck, and they just raised their hands and they gave their life to Jesus, and they were weeping, getting so touched by God. Later on, I found out that they were in the apartment complex just down the road. They heard the music and they were like, oh, what's going on? So they felt to come to the outreach, and they went that night and got saved. Praise God. And then the very next week, we were doing another gospel truck outreach in another part of town, and this couple were there. They went forward, got saved, and that very night they got water baptized there on the spot because we had water baptisms going on, and they both got baptized, fully dedicated their life to Jesus, and they're plugged into a local church, continually going to a young adults group on a Monday night, and the girl told me that she had been in witchcraft and she had given it all up because Jesus had set her free, and her partner fully following the Lord. So that's amazing.
Beautiful. Great story. And I love you guys seem like there's an emphasis in the way you guys do things, hearing you share both on Friday and Saturday, and not just, in fact, I think these were somewhat similar to your words, Evan, not just in the conversion moment and converting, but in making disciples and leading people into discipleship with Jesus. Heavy emphasis on what you guys are doing. Is there what's the conviction behind that for you guys? Not just to go for the decision, but to encourage people into discipleship.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we love to see people say the prayer to surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So oftentimes we're traveling or we're going different places or we don't have the opportunity to disciple people. And so we will always share the gospel. I've heard people say, well, if you can't disciple them, don't share the gospel with them. I don't think that's biblical, because Philip the evangelist went to the eunuch and he led the eunuch to the Lord. And it was not his idea, but the Holy Spirit's idea to whisk him away and translate him to another place. So Philip wasn't able to disciple that eunuch, right? So it's still biblical to be able to share the gospel with people wherever you go. Even if you can't personally disciple them, we try to plug them into a local church, try to give them a Bible. We try to really tell them, hey, get plugged into a local church. If I have a friend in the area, get connected to a friend. But on the other hand, we love seeing the long-term fruit. Amen. Because we know that Jesus didn't just say, go make converts. He said, make disciples. And disciples are people that are being transformed and are continually walking with Jesus, right? The best way to make disciples is to make friends. And I want to encourage you guys, wherever you are right now in your community, wherever you work, wherever you live, your neighborhood, pray for your community. Pray for people in your workplace to be saved. Yeah. I tell you, God answers those prayers. He will open doors for you to share the gospel with people. And then we want to spend time with those people after they've given their life to Jesus, after we've shared the gospel with them, after we have led them to Jesus, to continue doing relationships so we can see long-term transformation, right? Right now, I'm discipling a group of young men who got saved in my neighborhood. I actually felt very convicted several months ago because we were going out and doing a lot of outreaches. but I wasn't seeing a lot of people saved in my own neighborhood. And I was like, Holy Spirit, please help me to reach more people in my very own neighborhood. And I began to do prayer walks and just walk around. We would together walk through our neighborhood and pray. Not long after that, there was some young men walking that literally the Holy Spirit put a compassion in my heart for this young man. And I went up to him, shared the gospel with him. Turned out that he actually had another friend of his that was already pouring into him. And he gave his life to Jesus, got baptized in the Holy Spirit right in my driveway. How many guys want people to get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit right in your own driveway? Take it in Jesus' name. It will happen, I'm telling you. Just ask him to help you. He's the best evangelist. And so, but after that, I said, okay, now I want to help you guys grow. So we began to meet for coffee. And then they began to get plugged into church. And so I would say the best thing you can do is connect with people, build a friendship. Don't only invite them to church, but connect with them as best as you can.
Very yeah. good.
Yeah. I would say on the back of that too, I mean, me and Evan are still learning and growing in this. I wouldn't say we have it all figured out, but I think the more that we see people saved, there's a conviction in us that it's really the discipleship aspect is about seeing ourselves as a spiritual mother and father. And, you know, that was Jesus's model, was he was a father and a friend to the disciples, to the apostles. And then he fathered them to go and father others. And so I think for us, you know, we have done a lot of itinerant stuff, and that's been great and wonderful, and we'll continue to do that. But we've been convicted more and more by the Holy Spirit that it's quite easy to lead someone to the Lord. It's actually the sacrifice, or more, I should say, more of a sacrifice to really keep in contact with those people. And so for us, we're beginning to see ourselves not only as evangelists, but as a spiritual mother and father, that it's our responsibility and our privilege to walk with these people, to see them really walk and be fully in the kingdom of God. So as we see ourselves that way, it will change the way we live and how we act.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and can I just add to that as well, that so beautiful. She's amazing, isn't she? Marry a godly spouse, amen, if you're not already married. But, you know, this church, for instance, you guys have a huge heart for discipleship, which is an incredible resource. And I really think that is one of the main missions of the local church, is to disciple the local community, amen?
Yeah.
So you guys have, is it Alpha Course?
Yep,
that's
finished that up, yep.
Yeah, and you said, you mentioned a dinner that you're having some other opportunities for discipleship too.
Yeah, these guys don't know about that yet.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
That's all coming.
I hope I'm not in trouble. There will be future opportunities to invite people to things, okay? But in the meantime, meet with people, okay? And I'll just be really transparent with you guys. It's we have found in our own experience, it can be challenging to invite someone who's unchurched straight into church and for them to get like super plugged in right away. Because church, the way it's structured and the format, is more designed to disciple believers. It's more designed typically, I mean, longer worship sets, the longer words, they might not get it, right? So they need that personal bridge. When you can be a bridge for someone between the street and the church, man, that makes a world of difference. Like Kylie and Gary, for instance, they're incredible at discipling people. We were at their workplace one time and got a word of knowledge for this young lady about her back. She got healed. This was last year and a half ago now, last time we were in Australia. And they ended up coming the next day and saying, we don't know what happened. You know, the lady said, I don't know what happened, but my back got completely healed. And this young man knew about my back pain. And my father-in-law explained the gospel to her, and she ended up getting saved. Her and her husband and her mom ended up driving 45 minutes away to church and getting plugged in. But they personally discipled these two. They've been baptized. They've been going to church for the last year, and they're still on a discipleship journey. But my in-laws were able to be that bridge. So I really want to encourage you, be a bridge for people.
Very good, very good. So let's just get a little bit honest in this moment. Hearing some of the things that you were doing, sharing the gospel to strangers, praying for someone in a post office. For a lot of us, and myself, like that's just scary. The thought of, you know, talking to a stranger, the thought of sharing your faith, the thought of being rejected for maybe not being able to get the words out, right? I mean, we practiced this yesterday. You know, a few of us went out, and it was scary. We just got taught how to share the gospel, how to share your faith. Start with love, and, you know, a gospel acronym to help you guide yourself through the story of the gospel. I feel like I'm fairly familiar with that story, but yet stepping out, introducing yourself to a complete stranger, not knowing how they're going to react, there was fear there. How, I mean, do you guys experience that, and how do you overcome that? I know that you would have, like, you're teaching people and discipling and training people how to overcome fear. What are some things to encourage us to push past our fear, yeah, and share our faith to become that bridge, make friends, and see them encounter the kingdom?
Yeah, it's really such a good question, because we all experience fear. Put your hand up if you've ever experienced fear. Yeah, it's all of us. So it's not something that is foreign. However, I think the powerful thing is that we don't have to lean into fear. We don't have to obey fear. So when the fear comes, we've got a choice whether we're going to obey fear or obey love. And just in my personal journey, when I first was stepping out, I first got saved and, you know, was really hungry to see people saved and healed. I was actually working at Bunnings. Go Bunnings. Yep. And for some reason, God put me in the tradies section with all the builders and whatnot. I don't know why, but he did. And I loved it. I loved seeing hard hearts be transformed by the love of God. And so I would go to work, and God said, this is your mission field. You know, this is your workplace. So take it, like, be the hands and feet of Jesus here in Bunnings. And so this one particular day, you know, I had this burning desire, like many of you, I want to see my workplace saved. I want to see them healed. But I had this fear. And one day, one of my co-workers, Donna, she had come to work, and I could see that she was really in pain because of her knee. It was in excruciating pain. And she had to sit down, and she was almost in tears. And I just said, Donna, what's going on? Like, what's wrong? And she said, oh, you know, I've got like something in my foot, and I've got my swollen knee, and I'm just in so much pain, but I can't have work off because I need the money. And so it was just this really heavy situation for her. And, you know, my heart is just pumping, like, oh, I want to pray for her, and I know the answer, but there's this fear. And I just, like, had this moment with God, and I just heard God say, Maddie, she's my daughter. I love her. And I felt like this courage to just really punch fear in the face and just do it. Even if I had to do it in fear, I was not going to allow fear to dictate my life. And so I said, Donna, can I pray for you? You know, I was kind of shaky. Can I pray for you? And to my surprise, she's like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. What do I do? You know, do I have to take my shoe off or something? And I was like, nope, just you be you. I'm just going to put my hand on your foot and pray for you. And so it was a very quick, just be healed in Jesus' name. And she stood up, and she's like looking around, and, you know, she said, this is great. But she says, what the F did you just do to me? And I knew it was genuine. I knew it was genuine. And I said, I did nothing. I said, what's happening? And she's like, the pain is gone, Maddie. It's not there. Like, what the did you do? Like, this is crazy. And in the middle of Bunnings, in the tradie section, and I just looked at her. I was able to have a moment with her, and I said, Donna, this was Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, Donna was living a homosexual life, married to a woman, got healed by Jesus. I looked her in the eyes. I said, Jesus loves you so much. And this was Jesus healing you. And that really, honestly, I felt like someone was raised from the dead that day and it was me. I just, fear broke off my life. But I want to encourage you that I still experience fear. Evan still experiences fear because evangelism is a cost, it's a sacrifice. But what we've learned is that the Holy Spirit, when you do life, because evangelism is a lifestyle, when you do it, it's just a friendship with Holy Spirit. And so you go out and you're a friend of God and you get to love people with God. And so for me, my encouragement would be that, yeah, fear will come, but you don't have to obey it. And the perfect love of God will cast out fear. So just experience and receive the love of the Father, the approval of the Father and the love of God, and that will compel you to do anything and go anywhere regardless of people's opinions of you.
Very good. Beautiful. Evan, a couple of things that you said yesterday which really helped me and things that I'm still thinking about. You said the Holy Spirit is the only true evangelist. And I think that truth kind of, it lifts the pressure. You know, I don't have to go out there and be the evangelist. I just have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do His work. And then the second thing you said is start with love. And, you know, I think we can all do that. You know, the thought of sharing the gospel or sharing our testimony or praying for someone, that may terrify us, but the thought of loving someone, well, I can at least start there. And maybe that's the starting place of obedience and trust and surrender, where the Holy Spirit can take that seed and then allow it to turn into something profound and beautiful. What are some other things that we can hold on to overcome our fear?
Absolutely. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because it's, you know, I grew up getting bullied really bad, like severely in high school. And I was terrorized in fear of rejection from people. And the thought of being rejected by people was so overwhelming that I literally would be like a chameleon. I would do everything I could do to try to be accepted by people. And the Bible says that fear of man is a snare. And so when I encountered Jesus, I realized, oh my gosh, the love of Jesus outweighs, and it just, the fear of man pales in the face of Jesus. When you see the cross and you see what Jesus Christ has done for you, all of a sudden it's like, wow, what wouldn't I do for Him? The other day we went to an ACC conference and there was a man that came up and was giving an interview about how he moved his whole family to Iraq. And he literally brought his entire family, his wife and kids, to Iraq to be missionaries. And they said, what led you to be missionaries in Iraq for the last 10 years and literally lay your life on the line every day? And he said, the worthiness of Jesus. And I think about how when we go and share the gospel, it's because of the worthiness of Jesus. What's causing the fear? It's really, we don't realize, if you think about it, we don't realize what we have. Because when you understand the glory of God that lives within you, the person of the Holy Spirit that's within you, Christ said, the kingdom of God is not here nor there, but within you. You carry heaven with inside of you. You carry the person of Jesus Christ inside of you everywhere you go. That's what I depend on, is not my own strength, not my own eloquence or wisdom, but it's on the fact that Christ is with me and He's in me, right? Everywhere you go, the kingdom of God goes within you. And Jesus said, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we're obedient, but we don't just go based on obedience. We go based on, Paul said, we're compelled by love. We're compelled by love. And so the love of God overshadows all fear. When you receive His love, when you receive the revelation of the power of the gospel. And this is the other thing too, is that the gospel, you know, Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So he was saying, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And that was a time and an era where literally the gospel, the cross was, it was offensive in the most intense way, because the Roman culture at that time used the cross as a thing of shame. So to preach the cross, Paul said in Corinthians, was absolute foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it's the power of God. So you don't have to go in your own eloquence. You come in the name of Jesus. You come with the love of Jesus. You come in the power of the gospel. As you share the gospel, people's lives will be transformed. You have to have faith in the gospel. You have to have faith that the gospel works. And so when we approach people, we're not thinking about how we can change them. We're thinking about how Jesus is going to touch them.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.